The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
Simin Yud Gimel. Dinei Kedushas Beis HaKnesses Beis HaMedrash. The laws of the holiness of a synagogue, of Beis HaKnesses, and a Beis HaMedrash, a study hall. Sif Aleph. Kedushas Beis HaKnesses Beis HaMedrash. G'day Lamaid. The holiness of a synagogue and a study hall is very great. And we are warned to be in awe, to be afraid of whose presence rests in them. Blessed be his name. That means that we have to be afraid of being in awe of the divine presence which rests in a synagogue, not from the divine presence, not from the synagogue building per se, but from the divine presence which lives, so to speak, in the synagogue or in the study hall. As it says in the verse, from Mikdashi Tiro, and from my holy place, from my sanctuary, you should be afraid. Obeis HaKnesses, Obeis HaMedrash, Nekraim, Gamkin Mikdash, and a synagogue and a study hall are also referred to as a Mikdash, as a holy place, a sanctuary. Kibirsiv, as it says in the verse, Nechezkel, V'ahi Lahem, L'mikdash Me'at, and it will be for them, for a miniature sanctuary, for a small place of holiness. Meaning, the Pasuk Hashem is telling Klai Yisrael, telling the Jews through the Navi, through the prophet Yechezkel, that even though there's going to be a destruction and the holy temple in Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, still there will be remnants, there will be pockets of holiness, there will be small miniature sanctuaries. Any place where there is a synagogue or there is a study hall, that itself is a miniature sanctuary. As the Kitzur quotes us from the Talmud, V'dashinan, and the Talmud expounds and explains this verse to us, this is a reference to the synagogues and the study halls, that wherever they are a miniature sanctuary, and they, well, do not replace the main sanctuary, the Temple Mount, the temple that we used to have, and we hope we get back soon, but at least it's a miniature, it's somewhat of the Kedusha, of the holiness of the Temple in Jerusalem. Now, there is a discussion among the commentators how to understand this law. Do we say that the verse in the Torah, Mikdashi Tiro, is in reality referring to both the Holy Temple as well as to a synagogue and a study hall, which means that the obligation to have Meira Mikdash, the obligation to have fear and awe from a synagogue and a study hall, is a Torah prohibition? Or do we say that the verse in the Torah is really discussing the Holy Temple, the sanctuary, which was in Jerusalem, and that's where the law technically applies? The rabbis came along and ordained that other holy places, such as a synagogue and a study hall, should also be treated with a similar degree of respect, but it's only rabbinic ordination, it's not a Torah prohibition. So this is a disagreement among the commentators, among the Paiskim. There are those who say explicitly that this prohibition against treating a house of study hall or a synagogue is indeed a Torah prohibition. However, the consensus of opinion among the later Paiskim is that we accept the position that it is only rabbinically ordained. But one sees the seriousness of this prohibition, that there are those who say it's even a Torah prohibition, one should certainly be extra careful about it, even if it is only rabbinically ordained, it does not mean one should take it lightly. It is a very serious thing to treat these holy places with disrespect. It's showing disrespect for Hashem himself, and it's almost, how can one expect one's words of prayer, one's words of study, to have their proper effect and to go up to heaven if one flagrantly violates the holiness of this place, as if he's treating as if Hashem is not there. So if you treat Hashem as if he's not there, why should he listen to your prayers? Well, it behooves us all to be extra careful about this law. And therefore, says the Kitzur, also is forbidden to speak mundane matters in the synagogue. That means anything which is not words of holiness, it's not words of prayer, it's not words of study, they're forbidden to be talked about in a synagogue. That includes words which are perfectly permissible to talk about at other times, such as business. It's certainly permissible and recommend. One has to. It's a positive thing to do to talk about business. One has to make a parnasa, one has to make a living, and he has to talk about his business. But not in the synagogue, because while it is the right thing to do to have a business, but it's not the right thing to talk about in a holy place. They are not holy discussions. Certainly one should not talk about frivolous matters in a synagogue, such as professional sports or just plain shooting the breeze, as they call it. That certainly is not appropriate for a holy place like the synagogue, and is unquestionably forbidden to talk forbidden words in the synagogue. For example, Lashon Hara, to say a lie, to talk rechimus, to embarrass people. All those things which are forbidden at any time, in any place, certainly, and all the more so, they're forbidden in the palace of the king, right in the king's house, in the house of Hashem, where his presence rests, is certainly much more serious. And one has to be very careful to stay away from those types of talk in a synagogue or in a study hall. And this is all talking, even when they're not in the middle of prayers or not in the middle of studying. But for one to talk during the prayers, and one to talk in the middle of studying, and to waste other people's time, and to prevent other people from properly concentrating on the prayers, or even if no one's affected, but for you to talk in the middle of prayers, that's certainly a much more serious sin, because it combines the sin of talking in a holy place with the sin of talking during the prayers or during the studies, and therefore that's really not acceptable. One should be extra careful to stay away from such activities. Now the Kitzur, the Siddur HaShulchan brings that the custom of many is to be lenient about this topic, and many people talk in synagogue, even mundane matters. Certainly should be careful not to talk things which are prohibitive, but even mundane matters, are many people are accustomed to talk about them in a synagogue. And he says, he explains why it's not such a horrible sin. He says that since nowadays, when we build a synagogue or a study hall, we stipulate that we should be able to do mundane matters in them, as we'll discuss later on in this siman. So therefore, included in that would be that people feel if it's necessary, if there's some kind of purpose, it'll be difficult to talk about otherwise. One would have to go home and it would be difficult to study. So therefore, he says there is an excuse to talk about mundane matters in the study hall or in the synagogue. But certainly it's appropriate that one should try to do his best to stay away from this. And certainly if one understands that if he's careful to stay away from mundane talk in the synagogue or in the study hall, it's going to improve his relationship with Hashem. It's going to improve the way he prays. It's going to improve the way he studies. Because if a person knows, when I come to this place, all I do is I study. All I do is that I pray. So it's much easier to concentrate and have a focus on his studies or on his prayers. Then if he knows when he comes, he talks a little bit, prays a little bit, studies a little bit, it's certainly a lot easier to keep a focus on what you're supposed to be doing and make sure that you keep this place special in your heart and in your mind, that you stay away from mundane talking in the synagogue or in the study hall. Continues the Kitzur, and one is forbidden to make calculations in the synagogue or study hall. Ela shel mitzvah, unless it is a mitzvah purpose, for example, kupa shel tzedaka, for example, to talk about a charity fund or something similar, that would be permitted. Similarly, one could have a meeting in the synagogue about something pertaining to a mitzvah, for example, pertaining to the laws of tznius or some other type of gathering which encourages people in their mitzvah observance would be permitted to do in a synagogue or in a study hall, because just like this, it's a mitzvah purpose and it would be permitted. However, to do something like balance a checkbook in a synagogue is certainly forbidden and should not be done. V'neigim v'hem kavod mechabdim olrabtam, and one is supposed to act with honor, treat the building itself with respect, to sweep them olrabtam, and to make sure that the dust doesn't fly up, the earth doesn't fly up, by sprinkling water on them. And this is obviously something that is done to a dirt floor. All the floors used to be made out of dirt. And therefore, the proper way to deal with them is to sweep them or to sprinkle water on them. Obviously, in a more modern setting, if one has a tile floor or a carpet floor or a wooden floor, one should be careful to clean it in whatever way is appropriate for a synagogue, or whatever is appropriate for that type of floor, to make sure the synagogue and the study hall stays nice and clean. We see that from this, one has to be extra careful so not to litter in a synagogue. We have to be careful to sweep up after them and to clean them, and certainly to make a mess in them is not appropriate and a disgrace for such a holy place, and therefore it's certainly appropriate if one is walking in the synagogue and sees a piece of paper on the floor, he should pick it up for the honor of the synagogue, and certainly he should be careful himself not to throw things on the floor, not to make a mess, and because of the honor of Hashem who resides in this place. It also is appropriate to light candles in the synagogue, like covered for honor, which means even if you don't need it for light, you have lots of electric lights, but it's appropriate to have candles for the honor of the prayers, for the honor of Hashem who rests in this place. And therefore many have the custom that by the amud, by the lectern where the chazan stands to pray, they have candles, whether it be an electric candelabra, whether they have oil candles or wax candles. It is common for people to have such candles they turn on for the prayers. In truth, the Mishnah Berurah brings that one should really have turned the lights on before any people are in the synagogue, because it's for the honor of Hashem, it's not for the honor of people, it's not so people should be able to see, and therefore one should really have the lights on beforehand. It is generally not the custom to have the lights on at all times, even when there are no people in the synagogue or in a study hall. However, it is common to have what we call a ner tamid. In front of the Aron HaKodesh, in front of the Holy Ark, there is a flame, a lamp, a light, which is constantly burning. And that's also there for the honor of Hashem, that there should always be a light on in the synagogue. Additionally, it's a reminder of the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, where in the menorah, in the candelabra, in the Holy Temple, there was one flame that was always lit 24/7, they kept the flame going. And in times when the Jews were performing the will of Hashem, that flame was miraculously kept lit 24 hours, even though there was insufficient oil for it to burn that long. And similarly, we have our own Ner Tamid, our constant light in the synagogue in front of the Holy Ark. Continues the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Ein l'nashik b'hem banav haketanim, a person should not kiss his young children, meaning he shouldn't kiss anybody, even his young children, in a synagogue or a study hall. It's inappropriate to show any other love in a synagogue, except for the love of Hashem, blessed is his name, because you come here to forge a relationship with Hashem, and it's not appropriate to show love for anything else or anybody else besides for the love of Hashem. Sif Beis. Kainer sheyikanes l'toicham. Before one enters into the synagogue, yikaneach es hatit mi'al ragalav. He should cleanse the mud from upon his shoes. Yashgiach shon lo yehi al mav le'al begadav shon lichlach. He should be careful. He should pay attention to make sure that there is no dirt, or there is nothing dirty upon his body or upon his clothing. His clothing are not soiled. That's because, again, the honor of Hashem. When you walk into Hashem's house, you don't want to look dirty or unclean. And therefore, you should make sure to wash off any mud that may be on your clothes or on your body, anything else dirty. If you were coming to a meeting with somebody important, you certainly would want to make sure that you were presentable and clean. So, too, when you walk into Hashem's house, you want to make sure you're presentable and clean. Mutar l'marik b'hem is permitted to spit in a synagogue or in a study hall on a floor. However, yeshashiv tekiv raglav, you should rub it out immediately with your feet. This law certainly was said in a time when the floors were dirt, or when one spit on the floor, the saliva and the mucus got absorbed in the dirt. Certainly after you rubbed it out, so it got absorbed in the dirt, it was no longer visible. And the Paiskim explain the reason it's permitted to spit in a synagogue is because it was common for a person to spit in his own home. So just like a woman spit in his own home, it's not a lack of honor. It's not considered a disgrace to spit in the synagogue. Clearly, however, this is not the case anymore. Almost virtually nobody would allow themselves or anybody to spit on the floor in their own home. And the Mishabru already says that somebody who personally would never spit on the floor in his own home, it's possible that it's forbidden for him to spit on the floor in a synagogue. And nowadays, it's possible everyone would agree that no one's allowed to spit on the floor. And nowadays, it is considered highly disgraceful and degrading for somebody to spit on the floor, especially because the saliva remains on the floor and doesn't get absorbed into the non-existent dirt floor, or remain on tap. And therefore, it would seem that it's completely forbidden to spit on the floor in a synagogue or in a study hall. Continues the Kitzur, Sif Gimel. Ein nechnasin b'hem, a person may not enter into the synagogue or study hall, loy v'chama, not when it's sunny outside, and v'chama, in order to protect oneself from the sun, v'loy v'gishamim, and not when it's raining outside, and v'gishamim, in order to protect oneself from the rain. V'imtsarich l'ikanes l'kreis es chaverin, if a person must enter in order to call his friend. So even though that's also not so appropriate to just go in to call your friend, but since there's no choice, so yikanis, you can enter v'yikra sham eze psukim, you should read there some verses from the Torah. Ayeze mishnah, you should learn a mishnah. Ayeme eze tefillah, you should say some kind of prayer. Ayesh yishra me'acheyem eze limon, you should hear from others some learning, you should ask somebody to teach you something. And the chol apalas are at the bare minimum. Yeshiva l'sham at, you should sit there a little bit, a few seconds. Ki gama yeshiva v'hem hi mitzvah, because even sitting in the synagogue or in the study hall is itself a positive act. It's a mitzvah, and therefore, one should first go in and show, I'm not just here to call my friend. I'm here to do something holy. I'm here to study, to pray, to absorb the holiness of this place by sitting there and just absorbing the holiness. And only afterwards, Yikra is Chaveh, you could call his friend. What's being said over here is that a person is not supposed to use the synagogue for any purpose other than studying or praying, and therefore one cannot use it as to protect himself from the elements, as well as he cannot use it to go call people. However, when you want to protect yourself from the elements, there's always another option. You can always use a different building, find some other source of shelter. And therefore, you're never allowed to go into the synagogue to protect yourself from the elements, even if you're going to study a pasuk, a verse or two, or open up a mishnayos and study a mishnah. That's forbidden because, since it's only a trick, you're not really there to study. So you have to find some other source of shelter. Obviously, you could change your mind. You can go and sit and study for a little bit, and it's perfectly okay. If you're just doing it as a trick to allow you to shelter yourself, that is not appropriate and is forbidden. However, in order to call your friend, you're a little bit stuck. If your friend is in the Beis Medrash and he has a phone call, then there's no other way to call him besides going into the Beis Medrash. So there we are lenient and we say you could go inside to call him because you are stuck. However, one should at least try to show he's not there just to call his friend. He's there for some other positive purpose, such as to study, to pray, or at least just to sit there in the Beis HaKnesses or the Beis Medrash. There's another law which the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch does not bring down. It's brought down the Shulchan Aruch. One is not allowed to use the synagogue or the study hall as a shortcut. That means one cannot get from one street to another by going through the shul or going through the Beis Medrash. And this law is regarding this law. There's a disagreement among the Paiskim on whether it's permitted to go in using this trick of studying a drap or sitting there a little bit, saying a prayer. Is one allowed to do that? Are those who permit it, similar to calling your friend, if you want to get to the other street, so you can walk in, sit down for a few moments, say a verse, say a little prayer, and then walk out? Or you're not allowed to do it, similar to protecting oneself from the elements, that one is not allowed to enter, even if he says some studies a little bit, or says a little prayer. That is a disagreement. Everyone would agree if there is a mitzvah purpose where you have to cut through the synagogue in order to accomplish some mitzvah, that it would be permitted. Certainly if you studied a little bit or you prayed a little bit. But for a mundane purpose, it would seem to be a disagreement. And if the synagogue used to be a shortcut, that means that they built the synagogue on top of a shortcut. Once there used to be a path leading between two streets and they built the synagogue on top of it, everyone agrees that one could continue to use it as a shortcut even after the synagogue has been built. Sif Dalet. Also in Lechol and Lishtais, one is forbidden to eat or to drink. Ein behem with to sleep in them, in the synagogue or the study hall. Afilo shinisarai, even a temporary sleep, even let's say a nap, to doze off a little bit, is forbidden because that's a degradation for the holiness of this place. It's not your house. You don't eat and sleep there. However, let's say a mitzvah, but for a mitzvah purpose. Kegayim, b'leil Yom Kippur, for example, on Yom Kippur Eve, on the night of Yom Kippur, where some people have the custom to stay awake most of the night and recite praises of Hashem, recite psalms, to study, and if they would have to go home and go to sleep, that would take them away from this activity. Or some, in the olden days, it used to be common for many candles to be lit in the synagogue. Everybody used to bring their own candle before Yom Kippur started and light it in the synagogue, and there was a great danger of a fire. So some would sleep in the synagogue to protect the synagogue from danger of fire. So that was also considered a mitzvah purpose. And therefore, mutar lishon, in those cases, one would be permitted to sleep, a full night's sleep, in the synagogue. Ach yisrachek min ha'aron ha'kodesh, he should be careful to distance himself from the aron ha'kodesh, from the holy ark, and he should sleep in the back of the synagogue. V'chein lecho shal mitzvah mitzvah, so too to eat there for a mitzvah purpose, su'da she'em v'shikros, a meal that does not involve getting drunk, v'loy kalos reish, it does not involve levity or lightheadedness, that too is mutter, that too is permitted. Now the extent of this permission is a difference of opinion among the commentators. Mishmur brings one opinion that is limited to a very plain meal, let's say like beans and bread, that's about it. Others extend it even to something such as a siyum, you make a party when you upon completion of a mesechta, the tractate, or the Talmud. Then the Mishmur says one can rely on that opinion, and that is, therefore, has become commonplace for people to serve a little bit of food for, let's say, after if someone has yahrzeit, after the prayers, they'll serve some cake and schnapps, and something to drink. People often make a kiddush in shul after prayers and Shabbos, and they'll serve some food in the shul. And the truth is that people even have a custom to make larger parties in the shul. That's because, we mentioned earlier, that there is a concept in the halacha of a stipulation, that when the synagogue is originally built, or the study hall is originally built, that when they inaugurate it, they make a stipulation that they're building this building, or the building's use should be permitted even for more mundane activities. And then it is permitted if there's a need. You can't just do anything you want there. You certainly can't do things which profane or desecrate the holiness of the place, things which are completely inappropriate. However, things that are just plain mundane activities becomes a little bit more lenient, and therefore there are places where they have the custom, they make a bar mitzvah in the synagogue, they make a party of suda, sometimes sheva brachas in a synagogue or in a study hall. And that would be because of this stipulation that we make, which allows us to use the synagogue or the study hall for purposes other than complete kiddush, other than complete holiness. And that is the custom in many places, that they make this stipulation, most people make the stipulation, and that they use the synagogue indeed for other types of meals, which have an element of mitzvah about them, even though maybe they're not so plain. But since there is an element of mitzvah, and they made the stipulation, it is customary to allow these sudas to be made in the synagogue. Continues the kitzav. Also, those people who learn in the study hall on a regular basis, in other words, they're there all day, basically. Mutarim, they're allowed to eat and to sleep there, even a permanent sleep, a full-fledged sleep, is permitted for one who learns on a regular basis in the study hall. They should not be waste time, should not be nullified, should not waste time from their studies. So they are allowed to eat full meals there, they're allowed to sleep fully over there, because if they have to go home to do that, they'll end up wasting time from their studies. However, someone who does not learn there on a regular basis, you would not be allowed to eat a full meal there. You would not be allowed to take a full sleep there. However, the Paiskim do tell us that something little, such as they'll take a little drink in the Beis Medrash for somebody who's learning there now. Right now, you're learning there, and if you would have to go out to take that little drink, or to take a little cat nap to keep you awake, if you would have to go out to do that, that would waste your time. It would take an extra 10, 20 minutes. You have to go back home, come back, whatever it would be. That would also cause you bittul Torah. Therefore, that is permitted to do something temporary, take a little snack, to have a little drink, take a little cat nap, doze off a little bit, that would be permitted. Sifhei, kishabayin beis haknesses, when one builds a synagogue, tzrichon lahirois, talmid chacham, they need the teaching of a talmid chacham to tell them exactly what to do, how to build it. Eichu beizidin livnesei, how and in what manner to build it. There are myriad of details which go into the building of a synagogue as far as the height and the dimensions and the shape and the beauty and the windows and where to place the Aron Kodesh and where to place the Bima, the Holy Ark and the Shulchan, the table upon which one reads the Torah, and all kinds of other details which go into the planning of a synagogue. They have different laws which one has to know in order to properly plan, and therefore one should consult with a rabbinic authority before one builds a synagogue or a study hall. If one would like to see more information about the topics presented in this year, one could go to the resource page on kitzer365.org.